So with all these different techniques that I've mentioned, I just want to bring it back to a very simple practice, that integrates with all of them. In any moment, especially when you notice something blocking metta, but in any moment, you can simply let the heart and mind be as spacious as possible. There's almost a kinesthetic flavour of metta, sort of felt bodily experience of metta that is expansive. You know, one has to do this to express it. It is expansive. It's almost physical. Open chest. It seems to reflect itself in an open chest. And opening the chest can help to encourage it. So that's something we can always come back to, a very simple practice. So I'd like to summarise. So I've said that metta is a little bit like a high water table. So in other words, there's this huge body of metta, a huge body of water. And our task is simply to gradually unblock the various channels, open up increasingly the channels that let it flow. I've said that it expresses itself differently for different people. And one way we can have a flavour of that is by looking at the five Buddha families. How might metta express itself for members of those different families? And some of the possible blockages as well. Incidentally, I don't want to give the impression that we all belong to a family, and that is us. It's like any psychological classification. It's much more fluid than that. There's aspects that we'll relate to more than others. Maybe we belong to a few families, so to speak. Then I look more personally at my own typical basic blockage, what I refer to as Akshobhya's broken mirror, the broken mirror which doesn't allow some aspects of reality to be reflected. It distorts other aspects of reality. And the way I work, through mindfulness, noticing judgments, views, reactions arising, noticing them kindly. We always develop metta with metta. Metta-bhavana is a crucible, is a lab, a laboratory for doing this kind of work. I mentioned conscious appreciation and rejoicing, which encourages mudita, sympathetic joy, sympathetic appreciation. I talked about staying with dukkha, noticing dukkha, staying with dukkha, trying not to let it spin off into aversion as far as possible, and loving what is, just loving life as it presents itself to me. This gives a sense of karuna. And then finally, I mentioned the perspective of life and death, the ultimate perspective, what really matters in this perspective, which leads to a flavour of upekkha, of equanimity.